You have your Bibles? Hold them up. Make your proclamation with me. Say it with me. Say, this is the word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Pastor Carla for stepping up last week and for preaching for me. So on Wednesday night when I found out I had COVID, I called her. She was like one of the first calls. I said, all right, sister, you're up. And she's like, okay. Like, you know, you tell somebody they're up to preach with basically 2 days, 3 days notice, you know. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you my notes. I said, you can use all of my notes, some of my notes, or none of my notes. I said, up to you. But I said, but her and I actually collaborated about this message series, The Signs of Christmas. So I sent her the notes, and she said, you know what? This is an anointed message. I'm going to go ahead and preach this message. And she did a phenomenal job last week. And so thank her so much for giving you the sign of the virgin birth. How many of you know the sign of the virgin birth is the most important sign of the Christmas season? We must always remember that a virgin named Mary had a baby. How many of you know virgins don't have babies? So somebody told you that. They lied to you. Virgins don't have babies, except when God says so.
That's right.
That was funny. You know, God's used signs throughout history to show mankind that he's intimately involved in their lives. God told Moses, the sign that it was I who led you out of Egypt is going to be a sign, because one day I'm going to bring you back to this mountain to worship me. And when you get back to this mountain, that's going to be a sign that it was I who brought you out of Egypt. God told the Israelites that the Sabbath would act as a sign showing them that it was he that made them holy. God used the sign of the wet fleece and the dry fleece to prove to Gideon that it was God who was calling him to be this mighty warrior and to lead the people into an army, to a battle. In Daniel chapter 6, when King Darius sends Daniel into the lion's den, King Darius used the sign that the lions didn't eat Daniel to say that God was with him. As you can see throughout history, God uses signs to prepare people and to warn people that it is him at work. Continuing today, we're going to continue with the sign of the star. When Jesus came, as God said he would, the people missed it. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, I surely wouldn't have missed it. If I'd have seen a virgin having a baby, I'd have got it. If I would have seen that baby in that manger and wrapped in those swaddling clothes and I'd have seen that star in the sky, I would have got it. You know, I think you're probably wrong that you would have got it, because I drive down 190 every day and I watch the way you disregard street signs all day long. You miss the signs daily. Don't turn left, turn right, only on red. Don't not on red. And you go anyway. Like, I mean, people almost run me over on 190, missing signs all day long, because that's what we do. We miss the signs. Wow. And we've been ignoring signs since literally the beginning of time. So when you say, I wouldn't have missed it, don't kid yourself. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at the sign of the star today. In Matthew chapter 2, this is what it says, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has spoken. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I love how the Magi, these wise men, say they saw his star when it rose. You know that on doing some studies about the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy that we are a part of or live in, the Google tells me that there are some 100 billion stars in the galaxy. Now, that's a lot of stars. How many of you ever gone out on a really clear night out in the country and looked up and gazed at the stars? Anybody like to star watch? I love it. I swim periodically at a friend's house, and we swim early in the morning. And many times while I'm doing the backstroke, and I'm on my back looking up at the sky, I'll count the stars. You know, I don't get very far because I lose count. There's so many of them, and they all look alike. This little bright white spots of light throughout, they just litter the sky. And I've been amazed sometimes looking at those points of light, wondering what they are and wondering how big they are, how far away they are. And yet it says that his star stood out among all the other stars. There's a phenomenon scientifically that happens about every 800 years or so. It's known as the Star of Bethlehem. When the planets of Jupiter and Saturn align at just the right point in time, from the earth, it appears that as if they collide, and it forms these points of light that form the Star of Bethlehem. Now, that phenomenon is actually going to happen this December. God did that for me so that you could be amazed. On December the 21st, this year, just before Christmas, if you'll go out just after sundown and look to the southwest sky, they say it'll be so visible that it hasn't been this visible in over 800 years. So yes, it's a sign. Since March the 4th, 1226, was the last time that it was that visible from the earth. And the next time that it'll be that visible will be the year 2080. Y'all won't be here. I'll let you know when I get to heaven what it will be. Impossible task to count the stars, and equally impossible to distinguish one from the other except when God intervenes.
That's right.
You know, on this particular night, of all the stars in the sky and all those points of light, these men knew that star. Yes. Because that's what God does. He gives us signs to point us to his plans and his purposes in our life. And of the 100 billion, this one stood out. When God sends a sign, I want you to understand, it won't cause doubt, and you won't have to wonder, was that it or not? I'm not really sure. When God gives you a sign, you will know the sign.
That's right.
This star was put in its place so that the Magi would follow God's plan and God's path for their lives that would lead them to the Lord's Messiah. Now, the announcement of the Messiah was necessary because it was the pronouncement of God coming to the earth in human form. The significance of the star as a sign. The sign of the star reminds us of four important things that I want to share with you this morning that I want you to grab hold of this Christmas season. The first one is this, that wise men are still running after Jesus.
Amen.
It says in Matthew 2:1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod and Magi, or these wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." I find it rather appropriate that God would use wise men to proclaim his arrival. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The wise King Solomon tells us that wise people are still seeking God today. Yes. The Magi had traveled for 2 years to get to the place. Now, I want you to understand, for 2 years, they woke up every day walking toward the place where that star had led them. That star wasn't there every day. It was a reminder. I remember where the star was in the sky, and I'm going to keep going till I get there. I'm going to keep walking till I get there. I want you to know, sometimes the feelings are going to go away. Right. Sometimes the evidences are going to go away. Right. Sometimes we're not going to wake up and feel saved, right? I'm not going to wake up and feel sanctified. I don't wake up every day and feel holy. I don't wake up every day and I say, "Oh, I just feel like a pastor today." Not that I know what a pastor feels like. Right. But you know what? I wake up every day knowing that I made a decision many years ago, right? And that decision was based on a sign.
That's right.
I had a sign. Many of you have heard the story. When I went to church that first time and I literally met Jesus, not that he came up to me and shook my hand or anything, but I met Jesus that day. I went home from church that day, and that night, that Sunday night, I began to have a dream. I was playing a flute. By the way, I don't play instruments of any kind. I have no musical talent whatsoever. But in this dream, I just played a beautiful flute. And I was playing the flute, and people were following me, like the movie, The Pied Piper. I had the dream Sunday night, had the dream Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and again on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And every morning I would wake up and go, "What in the world is this crazy dream?" I never had a recurring dream in my life up to that point, and yet every day I have the same exact dream, the same way, the same place, I'm wearing the same thing, I'm doing the same thing, and every day I'm like, "What is this dream?" And then finally on Saturday morning, as I'm driving up Highway 1088 in my car, God speaks to me so loud and so clear and says, "That dream you've been having is me calling you to come and follow me." Yes, Lord, I made a decision that day to follow him, and I never looked back. I haven't every day for these now 20 years. I don't feel saved every day. I don't feel sanctified every day. But you know what I am? You know why I know? Because I made a decision.
That's right. Yes.
That star wasn't in that sky every night. And yet for 2 years, these men woke up every day with one goal in mind, to get to the place that the star was leading them, because they knew on the other side was going to be the Lord's Messiah.
Amen.
The star appeared that night and then appeared one more time over the place where he lay. Can you imagine waking up every day in our lives running after Jesus with that kind of pursuit, with that kind of love, with that kind of devotion? How many of you remember the movie Smokey and the Bandit? One of my favorite movies of all time. Remember Buford T. Justice, Jackie Gleason? He said, "I'm in hot pursuit." What if we woke up every day, and as soon as my feet hit the floor, I said, "Lord, I'm in hot pursuit, and I'm coming to get you, Jesus. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to look, but I'm waking up every day, and I'm running after you, regardless of what I face today, regardless of what I don't face today, regardless of whether my life is good or my life is in the tank. I'm running after you every day." You know, I'm 57 years old. I was waiting for the gasp. Really? I know you're shocked as I am to say it, right? For 57 years, and I made a lot of decisions in my life. Mostly bad ones. Got a whole plethora of bad ones. But I got one That stands out as the wisest decision I've ever made. And that decision was to follow Jesus. And you know what? I go back and make that decision every day. Wise men are still running after Jesus. The sign of the star reminds us also that seeking this king can cause a disturbance. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, when King Herod heard about this newborn king, he was disturbed. And look what it says, and all Jerusalem with him. People that do not have in mind the things of God will be disturbed when you do. I know when Peggy and I came to Christ 20 years ago, there were people in our lives, people who thought they knew us and thought they knew what was best for us, that would tell us things like this. You're going to do what? You're going to follow Jesus? Like, what kind of decision is that? Why would you want to do that? Your father, they told my wife, your father must be rolling over in his grave. They had never met her father, but all of a sudden now he was going to be rolling over in his grave because she decided to follow the King of Kings. Now, I was called a traitor for leaving my Catholic faith. Do you know that most of the disturbance came from those closest to us? And I want you to understand something. When someone doesn't really understand a relationship with Jesus, they will condemn you when you pursue one.
Right.
Listen, a revelation of Jesus Christ has no worldly understanding or explanation. Listen, when his spirit connects with your spirit, the natural mind will not understand or comprehend what it is you're talking about. We heard all kinds of crazy things. And I promise you now, there's so much misinformation and misunderstanding about a relationship with Jesus that it does cause a disturbance in the lives of others. But it's going to cause a disturbance in your life too. Because things can't remain the same. You can't enter into a relationship with Jesus and expect things to stay the same. You can't live in status quo and follow Jesus. You can't live the way you used to live and follow Jesus, right? Things are going to be disrupted. There's going to be a disturbance. You know that the world for 2,000 years has been proclaiming that the church is a bunch of judgmental people. The church is not a judgmental people. Just because we stand for something, we believe in something, doesn't mean that we're judgmental or standing against anything. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. The church is a place that reminds us that God's for us, not against us. Right? That God is not waiting for us to mess up, to smite us. God already paid the price for all your mess ups on the body of Jesus Christ, and he's no longer punishing you for the things that you've done. The world needs to know that we're not here to judge the world. We're here to love the world. The announcement of the coming Messiah would not have been welcome news even among the religious people of the day, because their religion, their way of life would have to change. Can't follow Jesus and things in your life remain the same, there will be a disturbance. Number three, the sign of the star reminds us that the world does not have the same goals as the godly. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out in verse 7 from the exact time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. We learn later in the story in verse 12 and 13, the Magi, after seeing Jesus, they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Listen, King Herod tells the Magi that he too wants to worship this new king, when in actuality, King Herod was threatened by the fact that there was another king living in his kingdom.
Right.
We learn that Herod's intention was to kill the king, not honor the king. The godly wanted to worship, the world wanted to kill him. The godly followed him, the world wanted to crucify him. Even the religious of the day did not have in mind the things of God, but instead the things of man. Religion is man's attempt at God's business. A relationship with Jesus is what we have because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. People that you don't know, people that you know that don't know Jesus will not understand your devotion, your love, and your sacrifice. The world does not have in mind the same goals as the godly. When you profess your love and devotion to Jesus, the world will not understand. Don't let that stop you. As a matter of fact, proclaim it boldly. And number four, the sign of the star reminds us that our worship must reflect our devotion. Matthew 2:11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped. The Greek word is proskuneo. They prostrated themselves. They laid face down on the floor in front of this baby. I want you to understand the picture. Grab hold of this picture. These men were kings in their own right. They had caravans of people. They had traveled for 2 years to get to the place. And here's a 2-year-old boy standing in front of them. He's not wearing crowns. He's not sitting on a throne. And yet they recognize him and his majesty and his royalty. And they prostrate themselves on the floor in front of him. They recognize him for being the true king, the one king, the only king, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, standing there before them. So often in our culture today, in our pursuit of God, we don't give God the honor that God truly deserves from us. We give God lip service. We go to church, and if we're really feeling it that day, or we like the song selection, we might get a hand. On a good day, maybe get 2 hands. Oh, I'm feeling it today, Lord. You with me, God? These men prostrated themselves. They recognized the king, and they laid themselves, debased themselves before the people that they were with and the people that were in front of them, and they laid face down because they could not stand before the king. I want you to know we must give this king the proper respect and the proper honor that he's due, because he is the King of Kings. Amen. The next thing they do is they open their treasures. But I want you to wrap your head around this. This is not two separate things. They didn't worship and then open their treasures. They worshiped and they opened their treasures. It's one major event. It's one act of worship. And we don't come and worship and then we give our gifts as we leave the church. It's one event. And our worship like this, and our worship like this says a lot about how much we worship this. It is believed that the amount of money that these men gave to Mary and Joseph may have been enough for Mary and Joseph to live off of completely and solely for 2 years while they lived in Egypt, waiting for King Herod to die so that they could return to Jerusalem. 2 years, that's devotion. The gold may have represented or would have represented the kingship of Jesus. How many times you remember getting the perfect gift for Christmas? You know, the one that your husband or your wife or maybe a child had heard you and listened, and they got you exactly the perfect gift because they knew you. My kids are like that. They'll give us gifts, and they listen to us, and they want to bless us as their parents, and they love us, and it's that perfect thing. They know you love that thing, and that's what they get you. Well, I want you to understand the gifts that these men gave to Jesus were the perfect gifts. The gold represented the kingship of Jesus. The frankincense was an anointing oil that was used to anoint kings and to anoint people of royalty, but it also symbolized his holiness. So it didn't just recognize him as an earthly king, it recognized him as the godly king. And then finally he was given this stuff called myrrh, and it symbolizes the suffering that Jesus would one day endure. Regardless, the gifts given to this newborn king were highly valuable and costly. These wise men gave what they had to show their devotion to the new king. They were the first non-Jews to recognize the importance of Jesus. They traveled a great distance at a great cost to worship him and then left him generous gifts. I found it. We don't even go to church if the weather's bad. Let's see what the weather's outside today. We look at our apps on our phone. It's 40 degrees outside. I ain't going to church. I don't have the right clothes for church today. We have heat. We have air conditioning. Listen, church can't be a convenience, right? It has to be a desire. It has to be, I need to get here to be with my friends, to be with my other believing friends, so I can worship the King corporately, right? Their response to Jesus that day was one of extravagant worship, the kind of worship that goes above and beyond. I want our worship as a church to go above and beyond. I think that it has to go above and beyond. I don't think golf claps and a little hallelujah every now and again is enough to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What does our expression called worship say about our love and devotion to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When I get home and I begin to ask myself that question, God, is what I do honoring to you or not? I hope the answer is yes. And I hope the answer is yes for you too. But if it's not, we're the only ones who can change it. This Christmas season, let us be reminded that God still uses signs to lead his people. First and foremost, wise men are still running after Jesus today. Seeking this king, listen to me, it will cause a disturbance. The world does not have the same goals as the godly, and our worship must reflect our devotion. Would you please stand with me? Are you following the star to Jesus this Christmas season? We can't get so wrapped up in the commercialism of Christmas, in the day-to-day, the shopping, the hustle, and the bustle, and forget about the reason for the season. The reason for the season is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to earth. Let's not forget to go out on December the 21st and see that phenomenon in the sky and give God worship. Amen? Would you raise your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus? We come before you, God, just thankful that you are still giving us signs today. And God, I pray for every person in this room, every family represented in the room, God, for the signs that you've given and the signs that you are about to give, God, that we will not only not miss them, but we will follow them, God, even if it means that we have to go out of our way to show you the devotion that you deserve in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you next week.